Perhaps you'd like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 14. And we'll pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your word, your work. Here we are on your day, seeking to gain all that you have in mind, to be able to have the advantage in the hours ahead, to be able to go forward more and more in a better and better way that brings us all the advantage and the privilege of your wonderful person and your presence. And our God, we thank you, Spirit of God, as you honor our Lord. Father, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of Joshua, we are at the end, chapter 24, and Joshua and is making the great emphasis that needs to be understood, that they need to serve the Lord. And in the process, he makes the statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whatever you guys do, you're going to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, all of that is wonderful, and we'll give that a shot again. But it's communion. So therefore, we're going to take an element of that in the light of the communion. So therefore, in Isaiah chapter 14, you are going to recall, and before I do that, you need a little something that comes chronologically before that. And that is our Lord, before there is any creation, and we've shared many, many times, the Lamb of God is going to take away the sin of the world. And before anything is created, including angels, that is a determination of God. God the Son chooses to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hang on to that. Now, move into Isaiah, into where God creates the angels. And Lucifer, as you know, as we did all of that study, Lucifer has a exceedingly super-duper spot. And all the angels, all are good and holy at that point. And all the angels are able to understand and see his awesome position before God. As no other angel that we have any record of is made. God makes him very, very special. The reason God made him very, very special is because God has a wonderful plan, and that plan centered in the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So in order to say that, God, you must have had something in mind. Why would you say that when there isn't any sin? Because there will be. And God put Lucifer, son of the morning, right up front, so that if he's going to go, and he wanted him right at the top, because he knew what he would do. And in this process of that, he fell. In his fall, this is his aspiration, his thinking. Chapter 14, if I may, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations when it came his influence on earth? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. That's if you put all that together, just think of a triangle going up. and you go all the way up to the in the apex, all the way up to the top. He wants to be at the top of the triangle. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, and I'll read verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You're going to go all the way down to the bottom. You want to go all the way to the top? You're going to go all the way to the bottom. And that's where he's going to go. Now, in the process of that, here God, Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. And here's Lucifer, son of the morning, aspiring for this height, for this position, for this holy position that God has he can't be God. We've said that. You know that. All know that. No one can be God. But they can aspire to be like God or take the position and the exercise of being God, which is what he's going to do. Now, having said that little bit, move over with me to Philippians. Over into Philippians. And in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. Now, you need to know, you need to understand, before anything, God knows everything anyway. Before everything, anything is. He knows it all. So therefore, here is Lucifer wanting to aspire to the height, to take the position of the, like the Son of God has, way up there, in being exalted and honored. Now, God, before you knew all this, I did. So now, here's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Okay. Now, God, are you going to, you understand what Lucifer did and what he wanted? He went way up there at the top. So God, what about the Lamb of God? And here in God's wonderful preciseness gives us the steps, seven steps down, and seven steps up, and he gives it to us in a nice sequence. Philippians in chapter 2, picking up in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what kind of thinking? Well, God the Son had a wonderful, wonderful exercise to God the Father, and he thought and moved exactly like the Father wanted in order to represent God properly. Therefore, in order to do that, what did you have to do to be the Lamb of God? Chapter 2 and in verse 4. Who being in the form of God, and the word form there, fashion. And that doesn't mean, that means that if you, God, he, God is God. He's the form. He's the actual shape. God is God. Being the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. John 1:1, 2, and 3. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ, God the Son. It's God. So we start where? At the highest, the Most High God. Now, secondly, and having said that, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God because he is God. And there's no problem if you are really what you are. If a tomato is really a tomato, then it can proudly sit on the grocery shelf and be a tomato. It is a tomato. God is God. Now, over to verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. Wow, that's what he did. He didn't have any thought of being anything super duper, no. He was going to have no reputation in any way for himself. He was going to be emptied, reputation emptied. In other words, all that he is, he's going to empty himself, as it were, And he's going to put all of that aside, being God. He's going to put aside being God. To what measure are you going to put aside being God? Verse 7, he made himself of no reputation or emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant. And the word servant is the word slave. He took upon him the form of a slave. That's what he did. I'm going to pick that up. Form of a slave. And was made in the likeness of men. He was made a man, anthropos, a man. Man, a human. He was made a human. In being made a human, he took being a human, and to what measure did he become a human? As a slave. Now hang on to that. Now, and made himself of no reputation, verse 7, and took upon him the form of a servant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And now that he's being a man, human, he's able to do something that he planned before the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God had to die. That's right. So therefore, God, being God, and being, here's the same word form in verse 7, form of a slave. He's a slave. If you looked at the slaves, half the Roman Empire, or a third of it, were slaves. Literally slaves. So God said, was really God. He put that aside, and literally, if you looked, he's a slave. A slave. Not a household, not just any. He's a slave. Hang on to that. Now, so that he became the man, a slave, and thus a man, so that, you'll note in verse 8, and being in the form, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lamb of God did all of that in the light of Satan, who wanted to go to the top. Now, remember the whole, here's us humans, and all the angels are busy watching. Well, God's awesome grace and redemption. And in the awesome watching of it, what do you have? Well, you're going to take, Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. He's going to go and become a slave, and he's got a man and a slave. And he's going to do all of that so that he can be obedient to what he originally planned, to be able to go to the cross and die, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John the Baptist, John 1:29. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, here's our word slave. Now, what do we know about slaves? And I have a whole thing, actually very, very old, that gives you the write-up of a slave in the Roman Empire. And in the light of it, in the light of all of that, I've read it once to you, and you wouldn't believe being a slave. To be one's dog is better than being a slave. A slave is the lowest denominator of a human being. In the Roman Empire, it would be better to be a cow than a slave. They were treated horribly. That's how they, now they would be exceptions, of course, but they were treated horribly. And the record there is they were of such a nature, a slave, that they were treated most poorly and miserably. Think of our word miserable in Revelation 3. And that. Think of being a slave and a chain gang. And you've seen them, heard of them, pictures of them or something. And they're all carrying their rocks, whatever they're doing, delivering it. And they carry them, whip and all that. You do that. Roman slavery. What did you do? And you do all that. and you are treated horribly. And if you fail and fall down, they disconnect you and throw you in a pit. You're all done. That's called miserable, to be a slave, the lowest of all. Now, what did you do, God? You became not just a man. You became a slave. You went to the bottom of the pile. You went to the very bottom of the pile of humans. And you acted and thought that as a slave. Understand, he was his wonderful ministry. But in his thinking and attitude, he took the position as a slave. Only now, God takes that word, doulos, God takes that word slave, and he takes that word down at the bottom of the pile and raises it up to the top. And Christ became the slave. And that changed the whole dimension of the word doula, a slave. He became a slave in his thinking. Now, over in John and chapter 4. And John in chapter 4, in God's wonderful movement and all of that, he became a slave and that. And in the process, he did what? What does the slave do? His slave was in absolute, whatever the master wanted, that's what a slave did. There was no ifs, ands, buts, or discussion, whatever it was, no matter how horrible it was, at the point of death if you didn't do it. Now, verse chapter 4, verse 34. Remember, they all wanted to have lunch, and they were hungry, and they wanted to know about the Lord. Should it be time to eat? Verse 33, therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Because they wanted to go and get something. Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I have one purpose as a slave to God. To what kind? Sir, can you quit your job? No, I'm a slave. I'm a slave, a full slave. In all of its awesomeness, I'm the slave to one purpose, to the will of God. And I've taken that terrible, terrible word that the empire and the Greek language has, and I've raised it up, and I'm going to give it a nobility. I'm going to give it an awesome respect that it never had. I am going to give that word meaning. And now watch how it goes. Now, so in the light of that... In the light of that, in the light of being a servant and all of that. Now, having said that, our Lord is going to go and do it. Now, so in the process, Matthew will have to look, so we want to get it, see it. Matthew chapter 16. There's two words we're going to look at to make it work. Matthew chapter 16, if I can, in verse 21. From that time forth, the rest of the ministry, began Jesus to show unto his disciples, so that they had no question when it happened, even though they did, how that he must, and that's the little word to bind, to chain, to put chains around a person, to tie a person up, to put him in bounds, to make it compulsory, must, binding. I must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed. And he raised again, and he be raised again the third day. Now, having said that, slide over so you see it in another way. Over, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. the Gospel of Luke and in chapter 24. He is a slave. He's bound to the will of God. Totally, totally committed. 1,000%. Now, here's Luke chapter 24. May I pick up, please, in verse 7. Saying, Son of Man, be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He must do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. While you're in chapter 24, go to verse 26. Jesus ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Ought is the word must, compulsion, absolute necessary. Ought. Verse 44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. They all must be fulfilled. And then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, verse 46, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. And there's the word behooved, which is the word must. And thus it behooved, or was must, compulsory, for Christ to suffer, to rise again, and rise the third day. So now, there's no question, he had to do that. It was a must. He was a slave. He was committed as a slave, 1,000% to God. Now, having said that, back over to John chapter 18 for a moment. John chapter 18, that involved that kind of commitment, chapter 18, that involved 18, if I can, and you'll pick up the little word, if I can, in verse 12, 18 and 12. Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. To bind, to must, to tie, to must, to make must. Now, God, you're committed to the will of God as a slave, I am. And I want you to know that it is going to make it possible for them to bind me. Because, you see, I have to go to the cross, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And in order to get to the cross, I'm going to allow them to bind me. They're going to bind me who am bound. I am bound. And they bind me. But the only reason they can bind me is because I am bound to the will of God. Now, having said that little bit, verse 24. Now, Ananias, in verse 24, in verse 20. And now Ananias had sent him bound. So as he's going, each place, Herod and each one, what is he doing? He's bound. He's chained. How can he be chained? Because he's bound to the will of God. He's a slave to the will of God. The will of God demands his death. Hang on to that. To the cross. That's what it demands. So in the will of God, the slave serves his master. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, now you're ready, Matthew chapter 4. Chapter 6, better. Matthew chapter 6. And you'll pick up the next word, which is the same word. Now, God, you're going to help us. I am. I'm going to help you. I took a word that was the worst and lowest of all words of humans. There's no word lower than slave as it was then. Now, and that slavery makes all other slavery look like nothing. Now, here's Matthew chapter 6. God, what are you telling us in your Sermon on the Mount? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, what you're trusted in. Do you see the word serve? That's the word slave. You can't be a slave to two masters. A slave is 1,000% to the master. And if you're going to serve God, you cannot serve the system. You can't be a slave to two masters. The master demands 1,000% obedience. You can't be a slave to both. Now, so God, you're taking a word, and you're taking that word, which is a low word, and you're raising it up and telling that us believers, the believers that know and want to know you, God, they need to be slaves to the will of God. But not a slave like you look out the window and see, or in the chain gang. No. A slave like the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. He humbled himself from being God, emptied himself, and became a slave to the will of God, for the glory of God. And he took a word. And here's the devil. Here's the devil. Now, what's the devil doing? The devil wanted the highest, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, and go to the lowest of low. And here's the devil and his angels aspiring to what? Which they never can have. And he has gone to the bottom of humanity. Hang on to that, if we can get to it. Now, In the light of that awesome, awesome thing, keeping that in mind, in the light of all of that, Romans in chapter 6. And interesting, I just want you to see the word slave. It's so many times used over and over, but you wouldn't catch it in your English Bible, because it says servant. But I'm going to show you a couple of places so you can see. God, what did you do? I took a relationship and a word, and I changed it all to make it glorious. Hang on. Romans in chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, be a slave to sin. I don't want you to be a slave to sin. A slave. Verse 16. I don't want you to be a slave. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants, slaves, to obey, his servants, slaves, you are. You can't have two masters. To whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, verse 17. But God be thanked that you were servants, slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Verse 18. And being made free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Over and over again. All about slaves. That's right, about slaves. Now, what did you do, God? We were slaves of sin. Now, let me ask you a question. You say, to the average human being, all 7 billion or so of us now on planet Earth, what do we have? Well, any human being, I want you to go and go talk to that person, go watch that person, and do what? I want you to see if they can avoid the bondage to sin. Word, thought, and deed. Show me how they can get free from the slavery sheer, that's why it says slave, slaves to sin. You don't have any freedom. No, you don't. You can rationalize and play the game all over with excuses and everything. You can play those games, but it's always the same. What? You're a slave. You can't get out of it. No matter how you think and rationalize and read the book on how to be positive and how to do that, you can't get free. You're a slave to sin. No matter how you cut the cookie. Now, God, what are you saying? And you know it from where you're here. Why not? You're right there. Over to Romans and to chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, you know, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth some good things. Does it say some? No, it says no. Because in you is no good thing. You don't have it. You're a slave. You're a slave. You either are a slave to God or a slave to evil, the things of the world. That's all you are. There's no choice. There's no big deal. You make a big write-up or a big argument. You don't do that. Either you're a slave to the will of God or to God or to sin. And therefore, verse 18, in me dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to perform that which is good, I find I can't do it. I can't do it. No, you can't, because you're a slave. You're a slave. And you cry out wonderfully, verse 24, O wretched man, slave, slave to the system, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And there is no deliverance. You're in bondage. You're in bondage to sin. Now, God, what did you do? You went down to the bottom and became a slave to the will of God, not to sin, to the will of God, to go to the cross and die, to make it possible that we would be able to be freed, but not freed to have license, freed to have liberty. Free, the truth will make you free. The Son, Romans, John 8:36, the Son will make you free. That'll be free. Not to sin anymore. But you're going to have to understand. You're a slave. No, I don't mind being a servant. But you're going to say a slave. Uh-huh. I raised it up. A slave. That's what I want. How about a middle? There is no middle. There is none. Either you're for or against, one way or the other. So God, there's no way around it, no way to sneak around it, that whatever we do, we're caught by it. And we're caught into it and by it in a most awesome, awesome way. Now, while you're still in Romans, look at chapter 8. And in chapter 8, we have our little word must. Now God, remember we said the will of God, you're a slave to the will of God. Now, interpret, help me understand that. Now God, are you a slave? Is God, the Holy Spirit, God in Christ in you? Is he, are they a slave? Is God in you a slave to the will of God? And he is. And what he's asking and looking for is you to be the branch, attached, abide, so you can enjoy being a slave. Otherwise, you don't enjoy being a slave, and you end up being a slave to sin, to the bondage of your own heart, and you never get out of it. You think like you do and feel like you do, and you can do that, but you never get freed to be a slave to the will of God. So therefore, God, are you going to honor God's will? Romans chapter 8 and in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, our failures, our faults. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You see the word ought? That is the word must, compulsory. It is absolutely binding, to bind, make it must. It's a must. What is a must? You know not what you ought. You don't know what to say. Oh, but I do. You can say it. You can write it out. You can have 5,000 people read it and pray it. It won't do any good, because that's what you wrote, and that's what you want. But God isn't seeking to honor what we want. God is seeking to demonstrate a slave to the will of God. And the Spirit of God doesn't honor what we want. The Spirit of God honors what God wants. So therefore, we know not what to pray for as we ought and must. God has to do it. God has to do it. Because God knows the will of God. And we're yielding to God, therefore, verse 26. For as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you know, verse 27, for he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. That's what he does. See? That's what he wants. So we want all kinds of things, and we run our lives and Christian and all of that. But God, what did you say? I made something wonderful possible, that you could, you're serving sin, slave to sin, and I set you free to be able to be my slave. Look with me over, in the light of that, over, if you would, to the book of Revelation, and chapter 1. And without taking it all, but just to get enough of it so you can see it, Revelation chapter 1, and we did it. Remember, we did Revelation, and we're trying to do it a little bit. We were at 6 o'clock, a little bit, parts and pieces of it, in the church, Revelation 17 of that. Now, here in Revelation chapter 1, we share together, who is the book of Revelation written for? And people read it, and they get all kinds of amill and postmill and pre, have all kinds of stuff out there. And people don't, well, you don't know what it says, and we come up with this, and then we end up, we don't even bother with it. Ah, Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to make it so you could understand, to see, to show unto his servants, there's the word slave, to show unto his slaves things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified them by his angel and unto his servant, slave, John. John, yeah. His slaves. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I don't. You can waste, do what you want. I'm just trying to tell you and remind myself and you how it works. God, you did something awesome. And we don't realize our system robs us of God's magnificent plan to save us, to change us, to make us like him. Think of the morning. Wow. To make us like him. Wow. That's what God wants. And I shared it with a gentleman going out. We were talking in a good way. And I said, listen, God has one plan for your life, and it's his. God has one plan for your life, and it's God's plan for you. God has no other plan except his own for your life. Do you understand that? And you want to shoot for that. You want to go for that. No one's going to go. If you're going to look around and think of the film and on the all the stuff, media going on and everything, and no one even thinks like that. No one even going to consider that. Ah, but God does. And nothing's changed. So God, here we are looking in your wonderful work and in the wonderful things that you do in a most, most wonderful way. And servants, the slaves, are my slaves to the will of God. I give my word. I want them to understand. My servants, my slaves. I want them to understand What is Paul going to say? What is all of them going to say? Romans 1:1. Paul, a bond servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. That's right. What happened to you, Paul? Well, I came to know God, and instead of being a slave to Judaism and all of that, I turned around and I found God as my master and Lord. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, over to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 3. I'm just trying to get a little bit. I hope you can see. We haven't done much. Well, understand the word. God has taken a word at the bottom of the pile and raised it up and made it the criteria to enjoy God's marvelous person and to be called what? A slave. Who wants to hear that? You're going to go to work and say you're a slave. You're bought with a price. He paid it with his precious blood. He owns me. They won't know. You keep it to yourself and be a good testimony. They aren't going to understand that. They don't want to understand that. But God does. And God wants you to understand it. Otherwise, how are you going to enjoy him? Colossians 3, verse 24. Knowing this, that the Lord, knowing this of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve. Why are you going to get rewarded? For you serve. You are a slave. You are a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a slave. A slave to the will of God, to the word of God, to the person of God. Wow, that is awesome. And all the benefits are going to come from that. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. What are the believers going to understand? What are they going to do in a most wonderful way? The believers are going to understand what God, here they are. Look at them. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1, if I may. Picking up, please, in verse 9, telling of the wonderful transition in the changed lives of the Thessalonians. For they themselves show, make public of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you turned to God from idols to serve, there's the word, to slave, to be a slave to the living and true God, to be his slave. That's what happened to him, to be a slave, to wait for his son from heaven, out from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now go back, we don't have time to do it, but our Lord, you were bound. And we read that. Even to prison, in cruciform, prison, ultimately caught by everybody, tied, crucified. That's right. Wow. And you did that. You allowed that in the will of God. So God, if we want to really line up with what we're supposed to be, we can't serve two masters. We can't be a slave to two masters. We have to choose one of them. So God, I choose you. Joshua said, as for me and my house, I choose God. So God, here we are, upgrading it and getting it in a whole nother window. God, we choose you to be our master and Lord. And we do that. And in choosing you to be our master and Lord, then we have a unique advantage, a unique privilege that no one else has. And you're going to allow whatever in our life. That's why it all, think if you just read one more verse, you don't have to turn there. You read Romans 8, 26 and 27. If you took one more verse, 28, if 26 and 27 are true, and the Spirit of God is going to pray for his will, God's will. That's what God we want. God's will for your life. If you're going to do that, what do you know? All things work together for what? For good. That's what you know. They aren't good always. But you can fall down and get bound and bounced around and hurt or whatever. But it's always in the will of God. And the will of God as his slave. Boy, does he take care of those that serve him as his slaves. He's obligated to take care of them. In closing, over to Hebrews. We didn't get very far, but I trust you got a little. Hebrews, if I can. Hebrews. And in chapter 1. Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, picking up, please. In verse 6. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. But in a certain place, testifying, what is man, Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, our Lord, he left nothing that is not put. He's everything. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. But now we see him, see not yet. All things put unto him. The world is doing what it's saying. The devil's doing what it's saying. The tribulation's coming and everything. And it's all, it isn't yet, not yet. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, all the way down to be a slave, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's what he's done. Over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews in chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about, verse 1, with so great a cloud of witnesses that understood and served God by faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, bearing up under the load, the race that is set before us. How so? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who made it possible for us to be able to exercise and enjoy and experience the will of God as a slave, as he did. And why not? He in us is going to exercise the outworking of the will of God as a slave. God's going to be honored 1,000%. Therefore, verse 2, that finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, what is he going to do? He's going to endure chains, bound, crown, beaten, bloody, everything. You wouldn't even recognize him. He's so beat up. But, in the process of all of that, he endured that. Despising. The word despising means not to think of it. He didn't even consider being a slave, being in bondage to the will of God that required his death. Because before the foundation of the world, God in his wonderful grace determined it. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So he endured. He endured the mockery and the shame of it. Why? Because he looked and said, I don't, what do you want? You make a whole lot of noise about me being a slave, me being crucified. Think of the Roman. A Roman, would you be crucified if you were a Roman? No. Crucifixion's not fit for Romans. No. You gotta be less than a Roman. Less than a Roman. You have to be like a slave. And slaves get burned at the stake. And slaves get slaughtered. That's what slaves do. They serve their masters. God. what? He endured that. He said, don't let it knock you down. Don't let it stop you. Looking unto Jesus and running the race that is set before you. Run that race with all your heart. For God's will, for God's word, for God's work in your life. Run it and run gracefully. Run thankfully. Thankfully. That's why God says it 1,000 times. Be thankful in everything. For this is the what? The will of God in Christ Jesus. That's where it's located. For you. What is the will of God? To be able to give thanks in everything as a slave. In God's will, so be it. Do you see? And God went to the bottom to raise it up. And that's what God takes us. Nobody's. Don't have time to read and all that. You know it. 1 Corinthians and that. I picked all the low things. I didn't want the pride of man getting in. I took nobodies that are nobodies. I didn't take the noble and the rich, they and the proud, like Satan, pride. No. No, I looked for poor people in their misery that cried for rescue. And I rescued them. And I made their slavery a glorious thing. Their whole life served. And what kind of life is that you live? I live as a slave to the will of God. The most glorious life of all. And you don't mock you and say, you could have done this and you could have that. And, wow, it doesn't matter. You want God's wonderful will. And God, why do we do the Lord's table? Remembering me and my death, and my death. I died to make it possible for you to be able to enjoy that unique, awesome relationship that I make possible to the Father as his slave, a son, slave, a son, who honors God. John 4 and 34. My will, my food, is to do the will of God and finish it. That's what it's all about. That's wonderful. Oh, it's hard. Ah, but it is. God, Joshua, when we get to you, you aren't going to know what we just did. Joshua had no idea of what we just looked at. He understood God in his magnificence, but he didn't understand what you just thought about. And you have it. What an advantage you have over Joshua. Do you take advantage of it? That's the question. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. We thank you very, very, very much. God, we want to help us draw a circle and stand in it. Deal with our head and heart. We want to be an influence and a help to family, friends, enemies, all around us. And God, we want to be able to show we aren't just a coming and going. No, God, we are not just a servant that may quit and join something else. No, no, God, we're slaves. Slaves to your wonderful will for your honor and glory. God, what a privilege. And we want to partake, remembering you that made it all possible. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the will of God for our life, is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, with and in thanksgiving. In Christ's name, amen.